Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. We have copyright-free music to introduce you to Sell or Die, the premier podcast for sales and personal development in the world. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling, and I'm joined by the fabulous, the lovely, the talented...
Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. Hey, everyone.
How's it going now?
We're here. I love it.
We are live in Chicago, Illinois, former home of the Chicago Bulls. They've dropped out of the NBA. And the Bears that won this weekend, so everyone is sort of content for at least 1 week. And we're having a good time. It's not freezing cold yet. It's wonderful here. We had dinner last night at Gibson's, which is just like food, only more expensive. But the quality is amazing, and the service is better than the food. Any argument? Have you raise your hand if you've eaten at Gibson's? Wow, everybody.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
So normally on Mondays, we do Motivation Monday, and we go live on Facebook and answer our Facebook joiners' questions. So today we're excited to answer your questions.
Yeah, where are they?
I have the questions.
Oh,
cool.
And Doug will read the questions. I love this. It's like Karnak. How many of you remember Karnak? I love that. Okay, if you don't remember Karnak, it's your fault.
All right, the first question is on social media. Should you accept every friend request on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, etc.?
Yes.
Well, if they look sketchy, don't accept them. Like, if they don't speak your language and they have nothing written in your language and they look fake, probably stay away.
Yeah. If you're a girl, be careful. If you're a boy, accept it. I think that's the easiest way to describe it. All right, go ahead.
All right, our next question is from RV Eric, and RV Eric wants to know, what is a great power question to sell RVs?
Whoa. Would you rather take your motel with you, or would you rather try to find one when they're all sold out?
Ooh, I can't beat that one. That's pretty good, Jeffrey.
And you can pee off your own back porch every day. See, I think things are sold with no humor.
Hmm.
And, where else can you go? You can travel anywhere in America, anywhere you want to go. It's hard to put them on a boat and put them, but you can travel anywhere in America that you want to go, and you sleep in your own bed every night. You bring your own food with you. You don't have to worry about... So there are advantages to having the RV. Ease of driving not be one of them. You got to take a house with you. It's tough to put on the back of a truck or a Winnebago where you're actually driving the house. But it's a lifestyle, and you decide if you want the lifestyle or not. And most of the people who come to an RV place are there on a destination visit. Mm-hmm. They already have one. They already know stuff. They know somebody that's got one. They're looking to make a purchase. And the reason that they don't make a purchase is because the salesperson was a jackass, for the most part. Next question, sir.
How do you take responsibility for something that is not your fault, but the customer believes it is?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I would meet with the customer personally. And either if they're far away, you Zoom them. Do you use Zoom? How many people use Zoom? Raise your hand. How many people use Skype?
What?
Yeah, Zoom is like Skype, except it works. Meet with the customer and find out what the issue is and talk to them and try to resolve it face to face.
But why are you getting petty? Who cares whose fault it is? It doesn't matter if it's their fault or your fault or whatever.
Yeah.
You still want them to be your customer, then figure out a way to make it right.
Bingo. Next.
What are the ramifications of your sales philosophy on the social good?
The social good?
What are the ramifications of your sales philosophy on the social good?
I am for personal good. Family good, customer good, and then maybe social good. Maybe. I'm not the general manager of the universe. I've resigned from that position many years ago. I'm the general manager of my universe. and I will not pay any attention to things that I cannot affect. If I can affect something, I'll jump in both feet. If I cannot affect it, I'm not going to whine about it.
But also your philosophy is, and I share the same one, it's not manipulative, it's relationship based. And so if you're manipulative and you're going on social media, you're going to lose. People are going to see through you and they're going to start reposting about how manipulative you are.
Yeah.
But if you're actually trying to build relationships, then you're going to have great results from social media and on the entire social good or whatever, however you phrase that.
Yeah, you have to be careful about how far you want to step in the world. Don't step outside your family. You certainly don't want to jump off of that bandwagon. That's the most important bandwagon you have. And you certainly don't want to jeopardize your position with your company. And even if your favorite color has to be plaid in order to get someplace, you may want to just not take a social position because you end up pissing off half your customers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can say whatever you want, but Nike pissed off half their customers. And maybe they're going to do great now. Maybe they're going to sales are going to rocket, but not for a lot of people.
And actually, we talk about that with a Gen Zer on one of our upcoming episodes because they won a lot of Gen Zs over with that campaign. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Next.
What is the first step to recovering from a lost sale?
Pull your pants up. Lace up your boots a little tighter. And it's just a sale. It ain't the end of the earth. It's not, you know, you don't have some kind of operation on your heart. You just need a little bit of massaging for your brain and stop whining about it. It's a sale. It's not the end of the earth. You'll win. You're fine. Have someone who you love that you can talk to without complaining. Go to your shrink and spend $100 or $150 for your hour and bitch over there. And they'll be able to, how many? No, I can't ask that question. Exactly.
If you lose a sale, you need to get your attitude in check. And so the first thing you need to do is actually do your self-reality check on your own attitude. If it means you need to go in your car and just scream for a minute, whatever, do it. But fix your attitude first. So, like, I really like Headspace. It's a great – Jeffrey hates Andy. He doesn't hate him personally. He just hates his voice. Hi, this is Andy. And then he goes through a whole meditation, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
does anyone
girls.
Do Headspace? It's awesome.
No, raise your hand if you're a guy and you do Headspace. One guy. Yeah. Way to go.
Anyway.
Way to wreck it for other men. I don't want to fuck Andy.
Anyway, do whatever you need to do. It may be listening to music. It may be meditating. And whatever. It may be calling a friend. But don't take that attitude into the next sale.
BFD. It's not that big of a deal. It's not the end of the earth. It's a sale. The best thing you can do is write down why you think you lost it. Then go to the customer and ask him or her why you lost it and learn from that so you don't lose it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lost sale. It's a lesson. And if you take responsibility for it, you're going to come up with a better answer next time and win.
So can someone back there bring my phone? I want to read something that's relevant. Hello to Mary and
Mary Zach.
Can one of you bring my phone over here? Thank you. I was looking through the testimonials for the sales attitude course, and because we were making that website recently for you guys specifically.
Just for you, I swear. No one else will ever see it.
Well,
except for other people.
Anyway, so one of the testimonials actually talked about, it was from a guy who lost a sale and had taken the sales attitude course, and so it's pretty relevant, so I just want to read it. And this was not set up, like someone...
Yes, it is.
In this, no, really.
It's
someone
totally
in this
bullshit.
Room may ask
it's
this
totally
question. It was not me.
We were praying for this question.
So this is what someone wrote.
See if you can find it, Jenny. Okay, we got it.
I got it. Hold on.
You
it's
got
from
it?
Charlie. I remember that. Here we go. Aha. I had the moment where my yes attitude clicked. Yesterday, I lost a sale I had been working on for months. Normally, I would have shut down, but I found the silver lining and realized that they would not have been the right customer. While realizing this, I knew their competitor would be, called them, got the meeting, and in 1.5 hours made the sale.
Whoa.
Well done.
Very well
Yes,
done.
This would not have happened if I didn't take the course for the past 3 months. Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you. P.S. It was a six-figure sale. My biggest sale yet. Yes, 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 Charlie.
And thank you. Hopefully hold your applause till the end.
How cool is that? Like, yeah. He could have shut down, and or she. I don't know if Charlie's a boy or a girl.
Well.
Our dog is Charlie, and she's a girl. But
how many of you have a dog with a boy's name and it's a girl? Let's see, there's us.
Us.
Okay, that's good. Doug, next question.
All right, where does passion and believing in what you're selling fall into successful selling? For example, the sales numbers are good, but the bureaucracy is killing the soul.
Love of what you do is number one.
That's
you
everything.
Don't love it, today's your last day. Go find something or someone that you love and do that. You may not make enough money at first, but I promise you in the end, you'll double your income. Promise you. How many of you have ever been in a job that you don't love? Exactly. What the hell are you doing that for? Literally, what the hell are you doing that for? Go.
All right, Jeffrey, you say that most voicemails suck. What does a good one sound like?
You want me to play yours?
Do you have it on record?
I can call you.
No.
Why not?
All right.
All right.
You just tell him, get him right here. Yeah, and tell him to leave a message. Answer the beep. Good thinking, porcupine. What beep? This one. Oh. Hey, come on, fellas. Quit fooling around. We got work to do, and get him is going to be here soon.
Now, that's the Three Stooges, done by my buddy Steve Rizzo, and we scripted it out, and it's fun. And your voicemail blows. And you're not having, and you're scared that, well, my is not very professional. Professional voicemails, seriously, they're over. This is a new year, a new way, a new age. Or just have a voice of your kind. Why don't you record a testimonial and play that? Why don't you do that? Yeah, ooh, that's a pretty good idea. So why don't you do something that goes outside of your normal boundary? Why don't you do something that stretches you just a hair? I don't understand. And some of you, well, I'm in banking. So what? I want everybody to come over to the bank because we have exactly what you want.
Money.
And we got bags of it. And we're willing to take you on a vault tour if you're willing to come in and open up a new account. Ooh. Oh, and by the way, there's one bank we're not. Wells Fargo. So if you need a fake account...
Doug, what's the next question?
Looking back at your career, what would you tell yourself when you were 25 years old?
I don't know. I'm not running for Miss America, so it's hard to answer a Miss America question. I think what I would have told myself is start writing earlier. I didn't start to write till I was 46 years old. And so if you're under 46, you're already ahead of me if you start writing tomorrow morning. I've been writing for 25 years. It's working. So I recommend people do that. And then when I first started to write, you had to publish in print, like a newspaper or a magazine or newsletter somewhere. Now you can be your own publishing arm with a blog. And they're free. I mean, I can't stress enough the importance of putting your message out there because Mother Google crawls the internet every night to see who's naughty and who's nice, and if you have the right words in there, other customers will find you based on the words, not based on you. It's called SEO.
So for me, 25 was like yesterday, but just kidding.
Yep.
I would have told myself that...
one's asking you.
Too bad, I'm here. Okay. It's my turn now.
Okay.
That you need to love what you do. And for a while, I was at a company in my 20s where I didn't love what I did, and I didn't realize that you could love what you did, what you do,
what
and
you
how
did
important,
do.
Yeah, and how important it is. So,
Dougie.
All right, I'm going to get the bleep button ready for this one. What do you consider vulgar?
I don't have a filter.
Really?
I don't have a filter for my 9-year-old daughter. I don't have a filter.
That's true.
There's no reason to, because they're going to hear it anyway. And if I'm phony in front of her for the first 10 years of her life, and then all of a sudden I break into it, I'm going to look like a jackass. So she will never say it, but she doesn't care about hearing it.
But it's so weird, because when I say a bad word, she'll say, Jen, but when he says a bad word, it's okay.
Exactly. What's your point?
I don't get it. What's the difference?
The difference is Philadelphia, New York. That's the difference. Philadelphia, where there's real people.
She lives in Charlotte.
Oh. Dougie?
All right. If you have dropped the ball with a customer, what is the first step of rebuilding their confidence
Pick
in you?
Pick up the fucking ball and go there.
Do not email them. You are hiding. Go call them.
Right.
Go
it's
there.
In
see them.
Person. Like, Zoom. Send them a Starbucks card. Meet them at Starbucks. Send them a lunch card. Meet them for lunch. In person. Face to face. Raise your hand if you're a millennial. I'm writing a book for millennials. It's called Pick Up the Fucking Phone.
There's one other thing. You can film a video message and send it to them so that they know it's personalized and specifically for them.
Deal with it the way you would like to be dealt with yourself. Mm. That's the best way to deal with it. Doug.
All right, Jeffrey, you talk a lot about Steve Jobs, his influence on you. Have you ever interacted with Steve Jobs?
No, not personally. However, I've been a Mac customer since 1984, which is when the Mac first came out. I have given a talk at the garage when he was not on campus, and I got to use his dressing room. I peed in his toilet, and I sat in his chair. I'm happy. And a couple of years ago, one of my buddies sent me one of his business cards, which sits on my desk every day. Totally cool.
And I'm his best customer. This is the SX, the new phone that came out on Friday, and I got it on Friday.
Ooh. Did you stand online?
I had to.
Right. We have a guy.
Oh, no, I don't stand online.
Right. We have a guy at AT&T.
I just show up.
Once you have a guy, you're good. How many of you use AT&T? Yeah, stay there. Because if you travel, if you go out of the country, it's the only
better plan.
Yeah, it's a better plan. Okay, next.
What is your strategy for pricing your products?
I try to be the highest I possibly can, so I can make the most money I possibly can. I'm higher than anybody who does what I do. And I can't explain it, but that if you want best, I'm best. You want best, you pay. You want shit, you pay. Second best or shit. That's what's in our group. And you may know somebody, well, so-and-so is just as good. No, they're not. Read my stuff. Look at my body of work. I'm going to price myself to where I'm twice as expensive as anybody else. And what that means is, if I cut half the people out of my life because they don't want to pay my price, I still make the same amount of money or profit. Got it? Be careful. A price means nothing if you're best.
A lot of entrepreneurs don't realize their value and how much you're actually worth. So I challenge you to go and see what your competitors are offering and what your customers could be getting from them. And then really ask yourself, are you worth more and why? There have been times where I've seen other people give talks, and then I've seen Jeffrey give a talk, and I know what these other guys are charging, and I'll come back and say, you need to raise your prices.
Right. Everyone needs to raise their prices. And if you dedicate yourself to being best, and you dedicate yourself to being best every day, you can raise your price. And if you don't, you won't. If you go home at night and drink a few beers and watch television and wake up in time to get to work on time, you got to keep your price the same, and you'll fight price all the time.
That's a tweetable too.
Yeah, I don't fight price. People want it, they pay. People don't want it, they don't pay. It's fine. I'm fine either way, because I get to wake up in the morning and be me. They have to wake up in the morning and be them. Keep that in mind. If you want to wake up in the morning and you're happy and proud of who you are, do that. And do it every single day, even if you're a Bulls fan. Next.
If a prospect says they cannot afford even the lowest price point of your service during a pre-qualification, should you continue to follow up with him or her or spend that time finding new prospects?
It's a fine line. If you believe in your heart that you can help somebody, you try to help them as much as you possibly can. Send them some free stuff. Make them feel good.
What he said.
Create an ombudsman. Give somebody something for nothing. Be a good guy. Brian, hold on. You going to tell anybody what I did? I just gave you lifetime access to the game. You're going to tell both your friends? Okay, cool.
I bet he already posted it.
Yeah. So, okay, so here's the, listen. Here's the deal. Do something that creates some word of mouth for yourself. There's value to it. Total value to it. And if you don't believe that, then you're not paying attention to the world. Look at the top five brands in the world, and I promise you, there's value all over the place for them.
But what you're saying is, like, be a nice guy, stay in touch, but don't keep trying to sell them, because if they're not buying, then go find someone else who will buy.
Eventually they will, as long as you don't ask a million times. Next.
I know you say to read old material, but are there any new sales books you like?
Yeah. I'm writing a new book called The Sales Manifesto. It'll be out January the 1st. Buy that. It will be the definitive book on sales. The definitive book on sales and selling. Sales Manifesto, January 1st, in a bookstore near you.
And if you buy both our books, they'll ship the same day.
Oh, yeah. And buy Jenny's. Next.
All right. This is a popular question phrased uniquely. What's the difference between persistence and insanity? In other words, at what point are you insane for continuing to follow up?
I'm going to give you the answer, the definitive answer. If you believe in your heart that you can help the other person, then you follow up, but you tell them, say, Mr. Jones or Mary or whatever, I believe I'm the best answer for you. I believe we offer the best products for you. And right now you're not buying. So I'm going to follow up with you until you tell me, get the hell away from me and never follow up again. And then I'm going to follow up for like 3 more weeks and then that's it. I'm going to quit. But if you believe in your heart that you can help them, you keep going.
And don't just like write them an email that says, I'm just following up.
Oh my God. I'm checking in.
That's the worst.
I'm checking in for what? A hotel room? Which is another peeve of mine. We're in two hotel rooms, 200 nights a year. I'm greeted at the front desk in 1 of 4 ways. Next, or just a second, I'll be with you in just a second, or last name, or checking in. And when they say checking in, I go, no, I'm here for my hair transplant. What do you think I'm doing? I got my bag, I'm disheveled. Why would they teach people to say that? Why wouldn't they say, I'll bet you're checking in. You're in for the best day you've had in years, and I'm going to make personally sure of it. Cool. But no, they say, credit card?
ID.
Oh, it's just right over here. I got one right here. Here's your credit card. Why can't they be friendly? This is what I've said to many people many times, especially in airlines when I'm checking in, which I just had an incident yesterday.
No.
It costs no extra money to be friendly. And I say that to TSA agents. How about that? To their boss.
I always wonder if they're going to pull them off the plane or we're going to actually make it to our destination.
Well, I almost got pulled off yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was pretty close.
Yes.
But she was a...
But the lady gave it right back to him.
No, no. It rhymes with bitch. I don't want to say the word. Next, Doug.
All right. This is a possible story time question.
Oh, boy.
At what point did you realize that you were not happy with your success and wanted more?
I grew up in my dad's business. You want to start the story thing? Okay. I grew up in my dad's business. Sound effects are everything. And I quit when I was 19 and I started to travel the world. But I always had my own business. And I realized that I could help other people in their businesses. So when that happened, and that was in the late 70s, I started to help other people with their business, and I realized that not only could I help them with their business, they didn't know how to sell. And I sold in New York City. So I started to write about how to sell, and that changed everything. My first column in the paper, in the Charlotte Business Journal, March 23rd, 1992, changed everything. I went from an expert to an authority. And I'll make this one statement. Every penny that I've earned since March 23rd, 1992, I can trace back to something that I wrote. Every single penny. Next.
Jen, when was your turning point?
Thanks, Doug.
I'll tell you when your turning point was. The day you quit your dumbass job at News Corp.
So, for me, it was, first I became the best salesperson on the team. Then I became the best sales manager, which is was determined by numbers. And then I became the best sales trainer and got these surveys that people had said in their 25 years of attending sales trainings for corporate America, they had never been to one that was so revolutionary and life-changing like mine. And that's when I knew I was the best, I was the best, I was the best, and now I need to go be the best for myself and quit my job and, you know, start my own company.
It takes balls to start your own company, doesn't it?
It's scary as hell, especially when you have a nice paycheck coming in.
So, but you could take a risk because you didn't have the monthly expenses that other people might have, like a house payment or a, you know, you had privilege at the moment, but you still took risk.
Right. Well, I had no kids, and I was very fortunate to have savings and a big commission check that had just come in.
So the challenge for other people that are hanging out in the audience is they're thinking to themselves, I can't do what I love to do because, and you'll put 10 barriers in front of your place. It might be your mortgage or your children or your monthly debt or your week. So that's why people are developing today something called side hustle. It's like a new revolutionary thing. But many people have a side hustle, especially young people, because they're young and they have hustle. And I would recommend that you make a game plan for your side hustle, not just have one, so that at some point it can replace what it is that you don't like. Because you're developing a side hustle because you either want more money or you hate what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your two prime reasons for developing side hustles.
But the thing about side hustles is that it takes you away from your focus and it takes you away. Like, I could never have become the best salesperson at my company if I was also doing something else on the side. I became the best because I would work during the day and then I would go home and while everyone was out drinking or whatever, I was working and figuring out who my next prospects would be and all of my next emails and planning for the next day.
I'm going to talk to you about that when we're done from the Truthful Living book. Napoleon Hill describes it perfectly. And when you get that perfect description, you're going to go like we did when we were editing the book. It was like, holy shit, this makes a lot of sense. And it's 100 years old.
If anyone wants to see the most dorky couple messages, you can see texting Jeffrey being like, oh my God, you got to reread this page. And then being like, I know. I'm like, no, really, let me write it out to you.
Dougie?
All right, I'm starting a YouTube channel to build my name and brand. What recommendations do you have to build an audience and provide value to viewers?
Make a list of all the people who need what it is that you're trying to YouTube about, video about, and send them an email and say, hey, I'm starting a YouTube channel, please subscribe. You have people on your list, use them. And get 100 subscriptions or 200 subscriptions and then be good enough to where someone would recommend it to somebody else. But make sure you have the subscribe button there. We started out, I posted my videos up on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel. I started it in 2008. We did it in our studio. I have over 5 million views and about 50,000 subscribers, one at a time. Mm-hmm. People don't subscribe in a group. They subscribe one at a time. And for you, if you don't subscribe to everything I'm doing and everything that Jen is doing tonight, you're making a mistake. Just subscribe to YouTube, subscribe to Instagram, subscribe to Facebook, whatever, like, whatever. because I'm an example of what you can do. And Jen is an example of what you can do. We're not, like, this is not earth-shattering brand new stuff that we're doing in a secret laboratory someplace in, in Jersey. This is something that anyone can do if they dedicate or rededicate or reallocate their time. I guarantee you've got 2 hours a day that you're pissing away. Guaranteed. Start playing, start doing it for yourself. Dougie?
So for YouTube, I recommend a few things. Be real, be yourself. You don't need fancy cameras at first. You can use your iPhone, especially if you get the new one. and then follow Sunny Lenarduzzi, who's a YouTube expert, and she's amazing at teaching YouTube stuff. Sunny Lenarduzzi.
Anyone, you have to be real careful about what you buy, because people, Instagram...
Oh, you don't have to buy anything from her. She gives it, well, you can buy her stuff. I don't know what she sells, but I watch her videos, and she gives great free educational lessons on YouTube.
Yeah, try it for free first. Don't put your credit card down so fast. Go.
I doubt you've ever hit a dip, but I'm sure you know what one is. Any advice you've given to someone who is in a dip?
In a what?
In a sales dip.
If you're in a sales slump, go to 27winningstrategies.com. I have a whole ebook on how to get out of a sales slump. 27winningstrategies.com.
Like she says.
It's free.
It's the number 27,
right?
Oh,
and it's free. 27winningstrategies.com.
How do you deal with unhappy customers?
Haven't you ever wanted to tell a customer to just... How many of you have ever like wanted to swear at a customer? How many of them your customer swears at you? Why don't you just say, wow, that's, I haven't heard that word in a while. What does that mean?
What if someone said that to you and you were swearing at them?
I mean, well, I'm really offended by that. Bullshit, you're offended by that. Ever swear at home? Well, yeah. So what are you offended by? How many of you swear at home? Raise your hand. Swear at home. Everyone does. Leave it alone. Like, get a life. If somebody is offended by your language, you need to talk to another person.
Okay, but if you have an unhappy customer, we do not recommend swearing at them. Do not do that.
What we do is we kiss their ass.
We do, yes.
The best thing we can do is make a mistake.
Tell them about your plus one strategy.
Yeah, we have a strategy called plus one. So if you call up and you're all pissed off about something, we'll send you a free autographed book and do whatever you want for nothing.
So we make it right. And then we do something extra.
And if any of you bastards fake us and tell us that you're pissed off, I have your name.
All right, what do you think about CRMs? Do you know anyone who uses them really well?
I don't know anyone who uses them really well.
Me neither.
Sorry to say that.
Yeah.
I've reverted back to Excel. Actually, and our project management system, Asana, for tracking stuff.
But you have a boss who's going to make you use Salesforce or going to make you use Sugar or something like that, and yours is not up to date. Any argument with that?
No one's.
Raise your hand if your CRM is up to date completely. One guy.
Wow,
two guys.
Way to go.
Yeah, but it's a one chick. Sorry.
Way to go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I call you? It's just some girls could prefer Sweetie. Yeah, Sweetie's better, yeah.
Oh, Jeffrey.
But listen, here's the deal. You have a responsibility for that CRM. It will help you make a sale if you let it. It will give you reminders. It will fill in details. It will go to personal information. Just use it.
Talk to those three people because they clearly have
exactly.
a reason for using them.
Is it working, Salad Guy?
Yeah.
Yes? Yeah, cool. That's great.
Yeah, CRM works if you work it. It's not going to fill out itself, but you can do, does it do voice to text? Yeah, too bad. Because then you can just leave it and go bump, 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 and they're done, right? Wouldn't that be cool? Huh? What's
Copper.
It called?
Copper.
Cool. See, everybody.
Oh, that's cool. I like it when it's built into G Suite.
Everybody has the answer. Google, by the way, will take over everything. How many of you use Google Docs?
Of course.
How many of you don't use Google Docs? What the hell are you thinking? It's like everyone can play with your docs.
If we can convert Jeffrey to Google Docs, you should try it.
Well, that's a nice...
Got a ding.
Yeah, faux pas.
All right, are print publications, newspapers, and magazines still worth targeting?
No.
targeting in terms of selling or targeting in terms of advertising in? I don't know.
I don't know what you're asking. Online print is taking over, that's for sure. Otherwise, your daily newspaper wouldn't be broke. We're in a transition period of time. I showed you Newsweek is out, but they have an online presence. And I think what you have to do is determine for yourself what your customer is reading or reacting to. I can tell you that, how many of you saw our email and bought a ticket? How many of you saw our Facebook ads and bought a ticket? How many of you, I mean, you know, this is what you have to do. You're either in the world or you're not. But we didn't send you a letter, did we?
Oh, who's the person who DM'd me on Instagram about a ticket? Are you here? Oh, don't
you
be shy.
You DM bastard. Come on, you dirty DMer.
It wasn't dirty.
Oh. All right, it was clean.
No, but people used to get their news on paper, fine. Then they got their news on Facebook. And now people are getting their news, if you're like my age or younger, on Instagram. And so why are you going to advertise? It depends on who you're selling to, but advertise where your customers are. If your customers are reading everything on Instagram or Facebook, go there.
We just had a hurricane in Charlotte. You may not have heard about it, but it's Hurricane Florence. Every business that was open or shut advertised, put their ad up on Instagram.
Jeffrey would say, oh, should we go here? Let me check their Instagram. And I would check their story, which would be up to date about whether or not they were open.
Unbelievable. So you don't have to call anybody anymore. You don't have to call anybody. How many have used Uber Eats? Raise your hand, Uber Eats. Is that freaking cool or what? You can go to any restaurant, pick out what you want on Uber Eats, and that's it. And 30 minutes later, some guy's standing at your door with a bag.
Yeah, and it's paid for.
Here's the deal. We're Hurricane Florence. I go, okay, what do you think's open? And I hear a 9-year-old go, Dad, Uber Eats. Huh? Uber Eats, Dad. I'd never used it before. It was cool as hell.
She wants her own account.
Yeah, well, that's another issue. When you're 9, you got to wait till you're at least 10.
Not happening.
Right. But think about what the world is now. You can go online, not talk to anybody, order exactly what you want, pay for it with a credit card, and it shows up at your door. In less time than it would take you to drive there and order it and eat it and come back. Ooh.
And no one types it in wrong except you.
Right, exactly. All right, Dougie.
What if your product is not the best in the marketplace? What do you do?
Quit. Go work for the best.
Yeah, if you don't believe it's the best, you've got a problem.
Like, seriously, come on. Yeah, we're the second best.
We're
somewhere between second best and third best. I swear to God.
Jeffrey, are you always speaking, presenting the same way, or are you adjusting to your audience?
When I'm doing a public seminar, I use much less filter, but some of my customers are much more conservative. I honor that. I don't want to, you know, piss off somebody for one word or another. I just want to deliver a message that's sound and factual and that will help people, and I don't have to swear at it in order to do it, but I'm from Philly. I cold called in New York City. Up yours is a greeting. So I'm pretty much open to whatever. And I apologize if you're offended by my language, but that's the real world now. The real world is getting away from PC. And the real world is not happy holidays anymore. It's Merry Christmas. And I'm fine with that, even though I'm a Jew. Right? And so are you fine with it, for the most part. And I think that what you have to do is recognize that what feels comfortable for you, you do. And if it doesn't feel comfortable for you, just don't do it. It's free country still, I think.
Yeah, it is. And you and I both customize and personalize anything.
Yeah, I customize everything.
For our audiences. So it depends.
Wait a second. Did I show you Gene and Georgettis? Were you surprised that I show you Gene and Georgettis? No, you weren't surprised because you knew I'm doing this in Chicago. What do you think I'm going to talk about? Dallas? Fuck Dallas. Until I get there. And then it's all about
that on the live.
And then it's all about Dallas.
All right, Doug.
All right.
I didn't mean to say that. I meant to say fuck the Cowboys.
There you go.
It's not the whole thing. Yeah, right. Exactly.
All right. How would you make a good impression with a customer who worked with a previous sales rep for 8 years and that sales rep went to a competitor?
Ooh. First of all, you want to find out why. Wouldn't you? Why did the sales rep cross the river? Why did the sales rep cross the road? Why did the sales rep switch to a competitor? Uh-oh. And maybe it's time for you to switch. Maybe there's something happening in the marketplace that your company is not keeping up with that you need to figure out where the grass is greener, or maybe the guy just got pissed off at something and left because he was disgruntled. But you need to find out why. That's a big one. Because if you find out why, it will help you understand what the circumstances are rather than kind of worry about it.
And just because the other guy had a relationship with them for 8 years, that's great, but you don't know them. You need to start from square one and build it from square one and talk about how you're going to serve them and how you're going to help them.
It may be a blessing for you. It may be an opportunity for you to rise to the occasion. So I would, A, do my homework, and B, meet with that person as fast as you possibly can face-to-face, even if you got to fly someplace.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you fly and show up, you're way more respected than if you just call them on the phone or send them an email. Hi, I'm your new rep. Like, seriously? I don't want a new rep. I want the old guy. Hi, I'm your new doctor. Hi, I'm your new heart surgeon. Huh? And by the way, when you get heart surgery, you're going to shop around for a cheap price? Huh? You're going to go for two valves for one?
All right, we've got a few minutes left and a few questions left, so if you want to lightning round these, we can.
Lightning round.
All right, let's
do
it, Doug.
And I just want to let you know I've saved some of the ball-busting questions for last.
Thank you.
So, amazing.
All right, so first up, what team did the Chicago Blackhawks beat to win the 2010 Stanley Cup?
Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, no idea what sport that is. Is that
Bastards.
Soccer? Hockey.
In 2019, Jeffrey, are you doing a sales manifesto book tour in the United States?
Yes. Will I return to Chicago? Yes.
Why are you using a Crowne Plaza pad instead of your own pad?
Huh?
You're using Crowne.
Says the guy who sells pads.
Yeah. The pad guy.
Pad guy.
Yeah. He lives in Paducah.
All right. Would you?
All pads are produced, aren't they? Keep going.
Would you consider shipping people who buy your online course a workbook?
No, but we'll PDF you one.
There are already PDFs built into the online course.
Yeah.
You can just download them yourself and print them.
Yeah.
Or use them on your computer.
Yeah, like she said. Go.
All right, so Sergio, the winner of our golden ticket, would like to know, do you like my tie?
Actually, no, I don't. It's beautiful, I swear to God.
I like the color. I like the color.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone likes their own tie.
It matters more what I think, really.
Everyone likes their... Yeah, this guy's tie is pretty dorky.
I like it. It's red. It was red for you, Jeffrey.
Thank you. People wear ties because they have to. My philosophy is neckties strangle clear thinking. That's just my opinion.
Okay, lightning round.
All right, Jeffrey, earlier you talked about taking responsibility. What's the best way to approach this without ruining the relationship and tarnishing your reputation without looking like you're over-promising and under-delivering?
Taking responsibility is no risk whatsoever. It will make people proud of who you are. It will make people respect the hell out of you for taking responsibility.
But sometimes salespeople are afraid to take responsibility because they don't think that their company is going to back them up in the way that they need to be backed up to do whatever it is they feel would be the right thing to do.
So here's what to do. Go to your CEO's office, knock on the door, and say, hey, we screwed up here. I'm about to take responsibility for it. Any issue with that? And that's all you have to do. If you have the balls to knock on your CEO's door and ask if it's permissible to take responsibility for something, you're going to win.
Yeah.
Totally win.
All right. Last question. Thank you, everyone, for all of your great questions. These were the greatest set of questions we've ever gotten until we get to Dallas. And then that. All right. What have you sold besides yourself?
Ooh. Me personally? I sold fireworks, firecrackers when I was in the 7th and 8th grade. I sold homework in college. I could have dropped out of any school. I chose to drop out of Temple University. And I manufactured leisure furniture, beanbag chairs, sold them in New York City. I manufactured imprinted sportswear, sold that in New York City. And I've always made my own stuff and sold it in Manhattan, which is where you make sales. All other places that make sales are bullshit.
I've sold custom jewelry when I was 5. I learned that you needed to customize. I've sold retail at Saks and various other department stores, educational software for 6.5 years, Cutco knives. If you have a Cutco knife, you know they are the best. They still are.
Does anybody have Cutco? Yeah. It's cool. It's fun to do. But here's the deal. I can't do what I do if I didn't sell in Manhattan. Plain and simple. You?
No.
If you haven't sold in New York City, you need to go there, get an Airbnb for a month or two, and try to cold call.
It builds your resilience, I'll tell you that. But we're getting our rap music, so we've got
Goodbye.
To go.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Oh, yeah.